You know what? I am fed up with this church. But I found out the same thing is true at, I think, every Baptist church I've been to. Two things. Baptist ladies know how to cook. And Baptist men know how to eat. Amen. But I do have a complaint, though, about the meal. Way too many choices. When I went to that dessert table, I spent more time looking than eating, I think. Because my answer was all of the above, you know. And you just can't do that, especially when you're preaching afterwards. So I want you to know I used enormous self-discipline at the dessert table. But I also think I should warn you. You know what happens after you've had a big meal? What your body wants to do? It wants to focus on digesting. And that's hard work. And so the eyelids tend to close in order to do the job more efficiently. But please wait a while before you take your Sunday afternoon nap. Right? Here's a statistic that'll really help you. I heard that if everybody that fell asleep in church were laid end to end in the pews, they'd be a lot more comfortable that way. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, I want to thank your pastor for inviting me. This has been a delightful day for me. And the fellowship here is wonderful. I can discern a great spirit. And I know that's a reflection on his leadership, but also on the history of 74 years as a local church, 73 years, I guess, functioning. That's a great heritage and a great legacy to pass down to those who are yet to come behind you if the Lord tarries. But you know, whatever we do in life, we ought to do by faith. We kind of say that theologically, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of living, that's not an easy thing to do because there's so many things that we already have that we tend to take for granted. I mentioned about rich people, but truthfully, all of us unrich people, if that's a word, we probably have food in our cupboards and in our refrigerators and our freezers. And it's sometimes difficult for us to really say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I went grocery shopping yesterday and I'm stocked up for a week or so, you know, at least if everything works out. I have to say this, I'm not the world's greatest cook and I'm not even in second place, okay? My wife did all the cooking. We were married almost 59 years till the Lord took her home. And for the last couple of years, she and I both have tried to exist on my cooking. She obviously couldn't make it. But so far I have. I don't know how long this will last, but I'm still working at that. But you know, the Lord is always good. Always good. And he always treats us better than we deserve to be treated. He daily loads us with benefits. But he wants us to live by faith. You know, that's the way you get saved is by faith, right? But it's also the way he wants us to live. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You received him by faith. He wants you to walk by faith. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is about. It's about faith. I haven't counted how many times the word appears in the chapter, but you'll see it frequently. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, this person did that. By faith, this person did that. All through the book, all through the chapter, it's about faith. Now, a lot of people have called this the faith chapter, but every chapter in the Bible is a faith chapter, but this one is about faith. And it teaches us the importance of faith. It gives us many examples of Old Testament characters who lived and functioned by faith. It defines faith. And there's a lot we can learn about faith from this chapter. So I want to speak to you today about this, what faith will do for you, right? What faith will do for you. Let's look at verse 1, because there we have the definition of it. Now, faith is, well, that's the way the definition starts, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It does not take faith for me to tell you there's a podium here. I can see it. I can feel it. It doesn't take faith for me to make that statement. It doesn't take faith for you to believe it. Most of you can see it too. Now, as long as I'm not too far away or don't have my bifocals out of focus, I can see things, you know. But if we can see things, we aren't functioning by faith, we're functioning by sight. You ever hear anybody say, well, seeing is believing? That's not true. They're opposites. Seeing is not believing. If you see it, it takes no faith to believe it. Believing is not seeing, okay? Now, some people think that means it's unreal. Faith is not unreal, it's just unseen. It has substance. There is evidence. We just don't see it all, okay? And the idea is that's how we got saved. I have never with my eyes seen Jesus Christ. But I believe that he is God come in the flesh, that he took human form for my benefit. He went to Calvary's cross and died for my sins, and that he's my Savior, and he's going to take me to heaven forever to be with him. I believe all of that. Haven't seen any of it with my eyes, but that doesn't mean it's unreal just because I haven't seen it. There's evidence already. He's changed my life. Now, I was saved as a little boy, yes, but even though I didn't become an alcoholic, I'm very much like my dad. And if my dad didn't get saved till I was about 2 or 3 years old, and my dad was well on his way to becoming an alcoholic when he came to know Christ as Savior. But I know how God changed my dad. And I also feel that I would be just like him in so many ways had not God saved me as a little boy. I was not saved out of alcoholism, but I believe I've saved from it. You know? I think there's evidence in my life about what has been accomplished by faith. And so faith is not unreal. It's very real. It has substance. It has evidence. But we're not only to be saved by faith, we're to live by faith. And that's really what I want to deal with today is living faith. What will faith do for you? So I want to look at some of these characters described in this chapter, Hebrews 11. See what faith did for them, because I'm persuaded faith can do the same thing for us. All right? So first of all, I usually start with number one. Okay? So first of all, faith helps you to approach the unapproachable. Look at verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is speaking of God. It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, that is he that approaches God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a lot in that verse that I'd be tempted to preach a whole sermon on. But this speaks of coming to God. And you know, without faith, none of us could come to God. We could not approach a holy God apart from faith. Now, we have a hard time understanding holiness because it's absolute perfection. We use the word holy as a comparative. We say, oh, you have a holier than thou attitude. But holiness is not a comparative term. It's an absolute term. There's nothing more holy than holiness. Nothing can be holier. If it's holy, it's holy. That's an absolute term. Absolute perfection. That's God. But we are sinners. And we, as sinners in ourselves, apart from faith, cannot approach the unapproachable God. You know, Isaiah in chapter 6 describes his meeting God, and it changed his whole view of himself. Kind of interesting to me. You read the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, and he's saying, woe unto these people, woe unto these people. He's reaming everybody out, basically, describing all the things they do wrong. He comes to chapter 6, and he sees the Lord. You know what he said? Woe is me. When he saw the Lord in his holiness, and he did see the Lord high and lifted up, and he heard, holy, holy, holy. When he realized the holiness of God, he said, woe is me. But faith helps us to approach the unapproachable. We cannot come to God in our sin, but we can come to him in faith, and he can cleanse us of our sin. So faith helps you to approach the unapproachable. Man by nature is sinful and therefore distant from God. But there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and through faith in him, we who are otherwise wicked, condemned sinners can approach the otherwise unapproachable God. Faith bridges that gap between a sinful man and a holy God. So the first thing faith will do for you, it helps you to approach the unapproachable. The second thing that faith can do for you, it helps you to see the invisible. Now notice again in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look down at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Do you know that God commissioned Noah to build that ark a long time before it started raining? In fact, it was 120 years in the process. I thought my remodeling job took a long time, but 120 years he built that ark and preached about a flood when it hadn't even rained on the earth, let alone flooded. It was by faith that Noah did that. He was talking about things not seen as yet. But he could see through the eyes of faith that God was going to do exactly what he promised to do. And so Noah preached and built for 120 years because he could see what other people couldn't see. I imagine the crowd in Noah's day, they saw Noah and his sons as they walked by building this huge monstrosity. And it wasn't a nice little canoe-shaped thing with a little pointy ends and a little cabin on top like you see in the cartoons, okay? It was probably like a great big box. All it had to do was float, okay? Noah didn't have to worry about steering it or changing the spark plugs or anything like that. You know, it just had to float, just big box. And huge, it was enormous. But Noah was seeing something that nobody else saw. And I have a hunch that people told Noah jokes in his day. You know, I'm sure he was the laughing stock of the neighborhood. 120 years building that thing and preaching. And nobody but his family got in the ark. that wouldn't seem to be a very rewarding ministry in a lot of ways, would it? But Noah saw through the eyes of faith what was otherwise invisible. Do you know, through the eyes of faith, you can see things that people who don't trust God can't see. I think in local church business meetings and taking on new missionaries for support or increasing the support of existing missionaries, that takes some faith to say, we're going to take this step. And people who don't understand what faith is all about, sometimes they're worried about the dollars and cents and how the checkbook's going to bounce. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't balance your checkbook, you understand, okay? But I'm saying that through faith you can see things that people otherwise wouldn't see. One year when I was doing my doctoral training, I was pastoring a church. I had three kids that were away in Bible college, and I had two that were in a Christian school. We were paying tuition for all of them, as well as room and board for the three that were college. I was paying tuition. My wife is the only one in the family we weren't paying tuition for. And our education bills for that year was more than my annual salary. And God got us through it. By the end of the year, it was all paid. And we ate three meals almost every day. Okay. How does that happen? You can't get out a ledger and figure out how that's going to work out on paper. It just doesn't work that way. But through faith, you can see things that are otherwise invisible. The eyes of faith see what other people do not see. So it helps you to approach the unapproachable, to see the invisible. Third, it helps you to think the unthinkable. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now here's the scenario. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave this place and go to a place that I will show thee. He didn't say, I want you to go to Canaan. He said, you go, and sometime later I'll show you where you're going to wind up. And I can imagine him going to Sarah and saying, okay, Sarah, we need to pack. And she, as an obedient wife, no doubt said something like, great, I will start packing. Where are we going? And Abraham might say, well, you know, that's the thing I'm not so sure about yet, but we're going. It would seem unthinkable to me, just pack up and leave and not even know where you're going. Now, if you've done that, please don't be offended, okay? Most people don't think that way. Let's put it that way. To me, it's pretty amazing that Abraham, by faith, took that journey. But I'm even more amazed by something else. Look down at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And you know, this is the story of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah. It's interesting to me that Abraham and Isaac and the servant were traveling and they went to the foot of the mountain. Abraham said to the servant, you stay here with the animals. Isaac and I were going to go up to the mountain and sacrifice. And then he used it in the Hebrew language. We don't see it in English as easily, but in a plural verb, and we will come back down. God had said to Abraham, I want you to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And you know the story. They went up on the mountain. He bound Isaac on the altar. And before that, Isaac said, I see there's a fire, and everything's here, but where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. But he raised that knife, I think, fully expecting to take the life of his son. To me, that's unthinkable. God gave my wife and me 2 sons and 3 daughters. I can't imagine intentionally harming any of them, let alone if I only had 1 son, to plan to take his life. But the Bible says he received in a figure. He believed that God was going to raise this son back to life. And by faith, he was willing to take his son's life. Now, you and I know that God stopped him. He didn't actually kill Isaac, but he was willing to. By faith, he was thinking that which was absolutely unthinkable otherwise. When you think by faith, you can think in ways that other people won't understand. Remember, I said, faith is not unreal, it's just unseen. It's not illogical. It has evidence, it has substance. It's just based on a higher level of logic than we typically use in our thinking process. I just can't imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind and heart as he prepared to take the life of his son, but he was doing it by faith. And he believed that God would raise Isaac back to life because verse 18 says he was trusting in God's promise that in Isaac the seed would come. To me, that's amazing. That's absolutely unthinkable apart from faith. But here's something faith will do for you. It will help you to think the unthinkable. It will put you in a level of logic that nobody else understands. Some people say, well, that's subjective. No, it's not. Subjective means that it all came from within you. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That makes faith objective. It comes not from you, it comes from God's word. Now, that does not mean that you can come up with some crazy harebrained scheme and said, I'm going to trust God to do this. You need to have that faith grounded in God's word, in something God said. But if God said it, you can believe it. And you can stake your life and all of eternity upon it. But by faith, you'll think the unthinkable. You'll think in a higher level of logic than you ever could apart from faith. So it helps you to approach the unapproachable, to see the invisible, to think the unthinkable. Here's number 4. It helps you to bear the unbearable. In this same chapter, look at verses 33 and following. In verse 32, he mentions certain individuals in Old Testament history. And that's verse 32. Verse 33, speaking of those individuals, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You remember a Bible story about that, don't you? Okay. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That is, they didn't receive the fulfillment of the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Notice all these ways that people endured suffering. They did it by faith because faith helps you to bear the unbearable. It mentions those who were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, they died as a result of that torture. We think, oh, it shouldn't happen that way. But it's happened many, many, many times in Christian history. People whose blood has been shed for the cause of Christ. And that's not unjust because our Savior shed his blood for us. But it would be hard to go through these kind of things. Torture, imprisonment, cruelty, scourging, loss of loved ones. Those are all hard things to deal with. We might say otherwise unbearable. But through faith, they were able to bear that which otherwise would have been unbearable. You know, one thing that I have found over the years in the ministry is that Christians, and I think this is founded in Scripture, can deal with loss in ways that unsaved people don't understand. Often when an unsaved person loses a loved one, they get bitter and angry at God. Years ago, I was pastoring in Indiana and had a lady that I was talking with who was angry at God because her son had been killed in a car wreck, hit by a drunk driver. And she said, I don't know why God would do that to me. And I said, God didn't make that driver drunk. God wasn't the one who caused that. If you want to get angry at somebody, why don't you get angry at the devil? And say, if that's the way he's going to treat me, I'm never going to serve him another minute the rest of my life. It'd be kind of refreshing to hear people talk that way, wouldn't it? But you know, through faith, we can bear that which otherwise is unbearable. Because we have an indwelling Holy Spirit of God who is an internal comforter. And we have God's Word, which is always encouraging. You know, whenever I've been discouraged and gone to the Bible, I've always come away encouraged. Every single time, without exception. If I'm discouraged and go to the Bible, I always come away encouraged. This is an incredibly encouraging book. It really comes out good in the end, you know. But so often, when we're hurting, we turn away from the Bible. We turn away from God. We turn away from the local church. We turn away from everything that could help us. It's like saying, I'm too sick to go to the doctor. But through faith, and as we grow in faith, I think our ability to bear that which is otherwise unbearable increases. That's one of the things faith will do for you. You see, we're all going to have to deal with hard things in life. Even unsaved people do. But believers are going to have to deal with hard things in life. By faith, we can. We can bear that which would otherwise be unbearable. You know, the key verse, I think, to the book of Job is chapter 13, verse 15, where Job said, though he slay me, you're talking about God, if he kills me, yet will I trust him. And that's faith. That's living faith in operation. to deal with difficult circumstances. And Job dealt with some difficult circumstances. I don't mean to be unkind, but worse than you have dealt with. Worse than I have dealt with. And Job still maintained his integrity, his moral wholeness, his relationship to God, in spite of all the circumstances that would cause many people to crumble. Through faith, he was able to deal with that. You know, there are people who fear surrendering to God, afraid he might take them to the mission field. Parents and grandparents sometimes worry about that for their kids and grandkids. Oh, I hope they'll make a lot of money, be here in the States where we can see their kids grow up and they'll be safe and everything will be fine, but sure don't want them to go to some place where they don't have flush toilets. You know, worse things have happened to people than that. To be honest, my grandparents didn't even know what those things were. They got along okay. But so often we're afraid to follow God, thinking we might endure some hard thing. Well, so what? Doing hard things, what makes us stronger? That's how an athlete builds up his muscles, by stressing them, by pushing them, by doing more than he thinks he can do. And as a result, he's able to do more than he was before. But without being pushed, you never increase in strength. And when we, by faith, are able to bear the unbearable, then we're able to bear even more unbearable things, you know. You say, well, that doesn't sound so good. It just means life's going to get harder. No, it means you'll have some amazing victories in life. But that's if you function by faith. The last thing I'd like to point out that faith will do for you, it helps you to do the impossible. Look at verses 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, who was the one that made the promise? That was God, right? Sarah counted God faithful, and he had promised her a son. Now, it says here that she was past age. The book of Genesis in chapter 18, verse 11, tells us that it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, her monthly cycle that would allow her to conceive seed no longer existed. She was beyond that age. If she were to go to the doctor, he would say, "It is impossible for you to have a baby." But the Bible says, through faith, she got the strength to conceive seed. Through faith, she did the impossible. That which apart from faith could not have been done. She did it. Look at verses 29 and 30. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Here's a couple of amazing things that took place, impossible things that happened as a result of faith. One is that the Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. You know the story, how the waters parted. Big wall of water on either side. Now, water doesn't do that all by itself. I was taught a long time ago in science class that water seeks its own level. It doesn't stack up on one side and on the other side. Just doesn't do that. God did that. Okay. The one who made the laws about water intervened with a higher law for short term. so the Israelites could walk across on dry land. Now, they went by faith. Scripture tells us that. Now, when the pursuing Egyptian army saw that happen, they said, we'll do it too. But they weren't doing it by faith. And it didn't work out so well for them. They got out there, and God said, okay, now it's time for us to go back to normal. Okay. And the same water that had been parted for the Israelites drowned all the Egyptians. You see, they couldn't do it because they weren't entering by faith. The Israelites crossed in safety on dry land because they did it by faith. Faith will help you to do that which is impossible otherwise. That's what happened here. When Jesus told the lame man to get up and take his bed and walk, it was not possible for him to do that apart from faith. When he said to the blind man, thy faith hath made thee whole, that tells us that it was not possible for the blind man to see before, but now it is possible by faith. But you know something that sounds impossible to me? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That sounds impossible to me. And by the way, I can't do that by myself. But ye is plural. Okay. But even that, we've done a poor job of that, haven't we? We're talking in Sunday school about the fact that some people think it's unfair that there are people in the world who've never heard the gospel and they will still be judged and will spend eternity in hell when they've never even heard the gospel. It is unfair. But it's not God who's unfair, because he had a plan he revealed to us so that all those people could hear. It's unfair of us to not exercise the faith to take the gospel everywhere. It's unfair of us to keep the message quiet. But it's not unfair of God. But by faith, we can tell our neighbors about Christ. By faith, we can send missionaries to the places we can't go. By faith, we can send our kids and grandkids into God's service, if he so chooses. Things that we couldn't accomplish by ourselves, apart from faith. But let me challenge you with this. God says without faith, it's hard to please him, right? It's not what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Now, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior by faith, what are you doing in your daily life that pleases God? What are you doing by faith? What are you trusting God for? I think there are an awful lot of things that we could do through faith. We could never do any other way. And when the disciples said to Jesus in Luke chapter 17, Lord, increase our faith. That's what we all ought to desire. See our faith grow. Okay, how's it happen? Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to be in our Bibles. We've got to take advantage of opportunities to learn and grow and hear God's word in church and at home and wherever we can. And let God grow our faith. Because faith will help you to approach the unapproachable, see the invisible, think the unthinkable, bear the unbearable, and do the impossible. That's what faith will do for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these dear people. I thank you for their attention. I thank you for the privilege of opening the Word of God here. I thank you for the wonderful local church that's established here. And I pray that if Jesus tarries, you'd give them many more years of faithful service. But Lord, help all of us to grow in faith, to realize that we need to please you every day, and therefore we need to function by faith. And I pray that we'd be in your word so that our faith can grow. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.